This is the 4501 Podcast, Episode 20, Autonomous Cars.
Hey, Tony, how's it going?
I'm doing really well. How are you, Mark?
I'm all right, buddy. So it's raining down here in Baltimore. So for those listeners that pick up any thunder or rain, that's why you hear it. It's not like my roof is leaking or anything like that.
Yeah, we're not in the old house with the red door.
God, that was terrible. That was so for those that are listening right now, basically what happened was we lived in this old house, probably built in this, I don't know, the early 1900s, like the early 1940s perhaps, and the landlords just refused to fix the house, essentially, and so the roof and the gutter system wasn't meshing properly, and what that resulted in was a waterfall coming down into my bedroom because I lived on the first floor.
Yeah,
so not a good time.
Yeah, super old. I'm so glad to be out of there. We're off to better things now.
Yeah, very much. So where are you?
Pennsylvania. I'm not in Amish land. I'm at my parents' house.
Okay. Your parents' house with 100 megabit internet.
Yeah. Brand spanking new. It's lightning fast.
So I guess we haven't talked about your vlog, or not your vlog, but your adventures lately, because we haven't had a real travel podcast except for your India kind of episode. Right. Do you have any plans for travel coming up?
I do. The solid plan that I have is I'm going to be going to Madrid in Spain in a couple of days.
That's awesome. Make sure you eat a lot of tacos. Oh, no, that's Mexican. Sorry. No, that's Mexican.
They have tapas.
Tapas. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah.
That's what I meant to say.
I figured that.
That's cool. Do you have any plans on going? Because you've been to Spain before, right? But you went to Barcelona.
Yeah, that was just for a day, though. So this is like my first true Spain trip.
Okay.
That sounds awesome. We can talk about that later.
Yeah, so stand by for a future podcast about Madrid, Spain, and what to do there, and how to backpack on a budget in Madrid, Spain.
Exactly.
Okay. But
for now, we will be talking about autonomous cars, kind of piggybacking off of the last week's episode of electric cars.
Yeah,
I mean,
yep.
They're two separate topics, but I think it'll tie in well. So there's a lot of ground to cover, but we'll try to keep it high level because autonomous cars are not a thing yet. I mean, they kind of are, wouldn't you? They're on their way to coming into the markets.
Like yeah.
Go ahead.
So basically, I mean, we wanted to talk about this because in the last episode we talked about electric cars, and obviously you can't talk about electric cars without talking about Teslas. And one of the, and I mentioned at the end of the podcast, if you haven't listened to it, please go back and listen. But the main feature, like I would buy Tesla, like it's electric, which is great, but I would also kind of buy it for the self-driving capabilities of it. Because that's one of the main selling points of a Tesla, is that you can be driving on a highway. You can put it into, I don't even know what it's called, autopilot? I think
sounds
called
right.
I think it's called autopilot. And you can just put autopilot on and it'll literally drive for you. It won't go left and right, but it'll make sure you stay in the lane, and then it'll speed up and slow down based on kind of how fast you want to go.
I know, like, at least a few years ago, Tesla always said to still be attentive and have your arms like in your eyes on the road, your arms near the steering wheel. Is that still the case with autopilot in Tesla?
Yeah, we can get into that in a little bit, because there are some issues with autopilot.
Right.
Thankfully for Tesla, one kind of main feature that they built in for the autopilot is A, you have to maintain pressure on the steering wheel. So if you don't have like a little bit of downward pressure on the steering wheel, or like if the car doesn't sense that you have a hand on the steering wheel, then it won't activate. It'll actually just turn off.
Okay.
And secondly, I believe you have to have your seatbelt on, but I haven't confirmed that. I think you need your seatbelt on for the autonomous part, the autopilot to come on.
That would be a good idea.
Yeah. Definitely. But anyways, so let's just lead off with what I guess self-driving cars or autonomous cars are.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I think we should probably qualify this with the fact that you can have, I guess, a partially autonomous car or like a fully autonomous car. So in the ideal case of having a fully autonomous car, this would be a car that genuinely drives itself from point A to point B without any human interaction whatsoever. So if you can imagine walking out your front door, getting in the car, kind of like opening up a Google Maps on your phone or in the car itself, typing in your destination, pushing go, and then until the point that the car gets to your destination, you don't have to lift a single finger. That would be, in my opinion, my definition of a fully autonomous car.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Basically, you just sit in it and it takes you to your destination.
Kind of,
I mean, what kind of movies have had that before? Maybe like the Jetsons, the cartoon show from a while ago. Pretty
yeah.
much every futuristic kind of TV show or movie, you know, they've all had self-driving cars or not even cars, but like vehicles that you just sit in, you plug in your destination, boom, it'll take you.
The thing is, that this excites me so much, this topic. Believe it or not,
it
Google,
sounds like it, Tony. It sounds like it excites you a lot.
No, Google's working on this technology right now and for the past, like, who knows, 5 or so years, maybe a little bit more than that. And they have self-driving cars that have logged millions and millions of miles on the road. And, you know, these are just some engineers and some testers out there in California, Silicon Valley, doing these type of tests. And, you know, they're there to implement the technology, whatever that is. We'll get into that in a bit. But I just find it fascinating that this technology is being tested on real roads right now, today, in 2019. So it seems like such a futuristic thing, but the reality is it's here. It's happening.
Yeah, it's just such a tough kind of, it's the future, right? This is the future. But at the same time, it's really tough to, parse out all the details because there's so much variables when you're driving. I mean, just driving to the grocery store, you run into so many different events on different days. It's hard to program like a car to just say like, oh, you know, there's a dog in the road or there's a biker in the road and stuff like that. And actually, when we talked about the Uber and Lyft episode, which was episode, I don't even remember, but when we talked about that, we talked about Uber getting into the self-driving car game. And fortunately, they had that accident in Phoenix, which kind of shut down their program for a little bit. But we can kind of talk about why that happened. And I guess kind of the two prevailing ideas of how a car should drive itself or how a car should monitor the environment, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of like ethical decisions that a car has to make in certain situations. So yeah, it's a super complicated problem to solve. And by no means, Mark and I are not experts.
No, in this. No, we're not. And so don't take our advice for it. Just listen to this podcast and download it.
Yeah, we just like talking about it.
In any case, so basically, what are some of the companies right now that are working on autonomous or self-driving cars?
I think the two big ones are Google and Tesla, right? Did Uber get back into it?
So Uber's still in it, I think, in Pittsburgh, I believe. Ford has been working on some self-driving car capabilities. Apple at one point did, but I think they abandoned it.
Okay.
I think Apple just kept hitting car. Oh, so the story is for Apple. I think it was Apple's. Someone's car program. So I think it's Apple's. Yeah. So Apple's car would always get into accidents. Okay. Like once a week, it would get into an accident. But after looking at the data, it wasn't the self-driving car's fault. It was the human's fault who hit that car.
Mm-hmm.
And so, that's kind of the thing now. Like, you have this self-driving car that is driving the correct way, but it's actually humans causing these accidents. And it's not in every case. Like, that Uber incident was certainly not the human's fault. I mean, it was just a lot of, like, the situation was not ideal for that self-driving car to accomplish its task. So it just was dealt a bad hand. But that being said, like, every situation is different, like I said.
Was that, I'm trying to refresh my memory, was the one with Uber where he was like going 60 on a highway and...
Yeah, he was on a route. He was driving at night and he was, it was a guy who got hit, unfortunately, was a biker. Oh, he was riding his bicycle. Mm. And I think he was crossing the street with his bicycle and the Uber sensor picked up that it was a human, but... It didn't stop in time. So I think it might have been a programming thing. But at the same time, all the Uber vehicles, they have a driver in the car at all times. So it's not just like an autonomous car driving around by itself. There's actually a human behind the steering wheel. They're just not driving it. And for the human, it was dark. You couldn't see in it. Like the guy, they actually released the video, not the hitting part, but up to it. And it's a very dark night. And the guy was going into like a shaded, like there's a street post, but he wasn't in it, like the near the street lamp. He was like outside, like beyond the range of the light. So okay. It's kind of hard to like, when you know this, when you're driving at night, it's kind of hard for your eyes to focus when it goes from like light area to dark area, light area to dark area. And so the Uber guy who was inside that self-driving car just couldn't see the guy also. But the car did pick it up. Like, the radar did pick it up. It just didn't know what to do.
Yeah. It's hard to say because we weren't there, but I just wonder. I'm curious if that guy wasn't on autopilot at that point, would he still have hit the pedestrian, right?
Like, yeah, that's the question. That's the conundrum. Like, if the car wasn't driving, right?
Yeah.
And this guy was not, I don't believe there was a crosswalk there either. I think the guy was just crossing the road. He was just jaywalking. So again, bad situation. But this kind of brings up the idea. So this is an interesting kind of delve into the two prevailing ideas. So the Uber, Ford, I think Google also, they've been using kind of radar and LIDAR, which can you explain what that is?
Yeah. LIDAR, it's sort of like radar, but it uses light, like lasers instead. LIDAR stands for, it's actually an acronym, light detection and ranging. And it basically sends out these pulses of light and bounces off of objects around the surroundings and comes back in, and the software measures the time that it takes for the pulse of light to bounce off and come back. And based on, you know, the speed of light, it can do a calculation and measure the distance of objects around the car, the sensor. So when you have that array of LIDAR panel like spinning around on top of the car, or like, you know, on each side of the car, you can pretty much generate a 3D map of the world, the localized world around the car. So it gives you a really good representation about what's going on around the car.
Yeah, and so if you're actually in a practical sense on a car, just imagine a car, and then kind of sticking off from the roof is this giant kind of, I shouldn't say this giant, but this massive kind of antenna. It kind of reminds me of like the Google Maps car.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So it's like, you just imagine the roof and there's another like 2 or 3 foot object above it that has these rays just kind of going around. Mm-hmm. So that's LIDAR. That's one technology. Tesla doesn't use LIDAR, okay? Tesla uses cameras. And so what that means is that they actually have cameras that are looking out in every single direction. And obviously there are some inherent flaws with that. But basically they use software to recognize what objects are, which is a different kind of technology, right? It's a little bit simpler and probably a lot cheaper than LIDAR. But yeah. So for that Tesla, the car cameras are actually pointed at the road and all that stuff. And the software is processing that image and keeping you inside of those lines and making sure that the car in front of you is at a safe distance, so that you're not going to hit anything, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it's the buzzword here is image processing. And I think, what is it like, this might be outdated, but like the Xbox Kinect, those use image processing. If you can unlock your phone with your face, that's image processing as well. So it's just like taking that type of technology and, you know, throwing it into a car. Yeah. Which is really, really cool.
Yeah. So can you actually, can you speak, so let's make it a little more techie. Can you speak to like the software and what the software is actually trying to do?
I don't have much experience with image processing, but I can take a good guess, I think, at what's going on. So you can just think of an image as like a huge, again, like an array of pixels, right? A 2D, two-dimensional array of pixels. And you're capturing those pixels at a really high frame rate. So like multiple, you know, 20 megapixel images per second, like up to 60 per second. And the whole idea of image processing is to not only detect what's going on in one frame, but also what's going on in the next frame, and the next, and the next, and the next. And in doing so, you can kind of like see objects getting bigger or smaller, or see objects moving around. So it's not three-dimensional in a sense, but if you stitch enough of these images together, you can kind of get an idea about what's going on in your surroundings. So that's my best
guess. That makes sense. Like,
yeah,
but basically for the software, don't you have to kind of program into the software what the camera's looking at, right? So like if it was like a brick wall in front of you or something, wouldn't you have to program that brick wall into the software to say like, oh, this is a brick wall?
Yeah, so you can
like give it a reference image, I guess, is the thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. You can go from that, like the basic concept, to objectifying stuff in this image that you're looking at. So once you feed your algorithm, like we'll use the brick wall example. Once you feed the algorithm what a brick wall looks like you give it like thousands of brick walls, and now it knows what a brick wall looks like. And then you can give it thousands of images of people walking across the street, and it kind of learns over time what people walking across the street look like. So you're combining image processing at this point with artificial intelligence, right?
Yeah.
And machine learning.
Yep.
And in doing so, you can get a good idea about what the heck's going on out there.
Yeah. And then I think for LiDAR, the LiDAR technology, I feel like they have a little bit more difficult time trying to produce an image, right? So like, what I'm trying to say. So like, if it was a brick wall, right? Let's say there was a dog sitting on that brick wall or a bird, and then the LiDAR picks it up. Do you think the LiDAR would have a much tougher time of figuring out that was a brick wall compared to image software?
Because
it's trying to model it, right? And then it's trying to base it. Like, if it's a brick wall is a rectangle, but if you add a bird or an animal on top of that brick wall, it's not a rectangle anymore. So what is it?
I think, from the car's perspective, let's think about it from that. Like, a car really doesn't care, I don't think, at least, if it is a brick wall or if it's like a cinder block wall or if it's a wall to a building, like a wood wall. Like, the car just needs to know to stop, right? So it needs to detect obstacles. And what I'm trying to say is knowing the fact that something is there is more important than knowing what is there. I guess at a higher level, knowing the difference between a brick wall and a person is good to know. But in either case, you're going to want to stop, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, you're right.
So when you think about it from the perspective of the car, it becomes a little bit easier of a problem, I think.
Okay, so let's talk about this in long term then. So we have these two different technologies. One of them probably has their drawbacks. Like LiDAR can process or develop a model 24/7 regardless of light and darkness, right?
Right. Yeah.
But for Tesla, you're obviously limited to like only nighttime or cameras that are super sensitive in the dark, right? Because cameras don't work well at night.
Yeah, you need some type of like what is that called when you look
at infrared or something like that.
Yeah,
you need a different camera, and I'm not sure if Tesla has that or not. Yeah. But like, obviously, those cameras are significantly cheaper than LiDAR is, because LiDAR, I mean, you're building this huge machine on top of the car. Sorry.
Yeah. And no, so, you're right.
So, and so moving on to the future, which one do you think is probably the best avenue for a company to go down?
Yeah, based on my experience and my knowledge of the situation, I would probably say I would want to drive a LiDAR car versus like a car that uses image processing. But, you know, we'll have to see over the next few years what technology comes out on top. What about you, Mark?
I think it's cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I really do. I mean, I think if you think about LiDAR, right, there's still so much kind of, even though we're talking about milliseconds here, like I don't actually know how long it would take for an object to, for it to go out and then bounce back, right? But we're still talking about, even if it was 10 milliseconds, like in 10 milliseconds, if someone was going to jump out in front of your car, they could do it, you know? And obviously you couldn't stop in that amount of time, but like there's still so much that I feel like LiDAR is just so, it needs to be more developed.
Yeah, yeah, I think...
Right? It's just the technology needs to be more refined. Like, you need to be able to identify a lot more stuff. Like, but at the same time, Tony, like, so going back to your thing about stopping, you can't have a car that keeps stopping if there's, like, a stick in the road.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, that just causes a bigger accident, too.
Yeah, I think...
So that's what I'm saying. Like the image recognition of a LiDAR isn't as absolute as we want it to be compared to software. Like if you put like a, like you can reference it, and obviously sticks comes in all shapes and sizes, right? And so there are obviously a lot more variables to it, but like I feel like LiDAR needs to be more refined into what it's doing right now. And,
yeah,
I'm sure they are doing it, right?
Totally. Yeah, there's thousands of people working on this every day.
Yeah, but but also, let's think about in an economical sense, cameras are cheaper.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Yeah, as far as I know, they're much more prominent.
Yeah, I mean, think about how much money it would cost. If we truly want to move to a society that is self-driving, you need to bring that price point down to how much? $16,000 for a car?
Yeah, that's what we're used to paying.
15, yeah. 16 to 20? And why would anyone want to justify going to a self-driving car if you're going to have to pay 25, 10 to 15 or 20? I don't even know how much those arrays cost, but I'm assuming it's not cheap.
No, you're right. They're quite expensive. So if that is a technology that ever hits the consumer, you know, industry, it's going to be a while, I think.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. So I guess let's get off the technology a little bit and let's say like, what happens if we do produce self-driving cars? Like what if we, in 50 to 100 years from now, when we're all long dead and gone, we do have a society that has mastered self-driving cars and everyone uses it. What do you see?
So I think actually there's going to be like a couple different phases until we get to a road with all fully self-driving
until
cars,
until we get
right?
to a road of fully autonomous, yes.
Yeah, so the first phase will be some semi-autonomous cars on the road, right? Kind of like we have now with Tesla. Like we have some autopilot features and that's great. And they're on the road with normal people behind the wheel. After that, we're going to start seeing fully autonomous cars on the road, but obviously not everybody's going to have a fully autonomous car. So those fully autonomous cars have to know how to interact with other human drivers on the road. And that's a tough problem to solve, like we talked about earlier with all the unpredictability and everything. After that, I see, you know, the phase out starting to happen of human driven cars. And until we get to the point where there's all 100% fully autonomous cars on the road, those cars need to be smart enough to drive next to human drivers. But the most exciting part of this is, and I don't know how far in the future this is, but when we get to a society where there are 100% fully autonomous cars on the road, it's going to be, I predict, and I've talked to people about this before who are familiar with this matter, like I predict a network of cars that could communicate with each other where this image processing and this LiDAR might not even be that important anymore. It'll still be a technology, yes, but when a car can talk to every single other car on the road through, you know, internet or whatever technology we're using at the time, you can essentially have a roads where cars can go their maximum speed and, you know, drive inches behind the next car, and the next car drives inches behind that car, because each and every car on that road knows exactly what each and every car is doing. So in a sense, you eliminate all traffic, all congestion. You can pretty much optimize traffic at that point. Like, there would be no traffic.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one of the things that everyone deals with. Like, just in a practical sense, if you're on a highway, there's an accident on the other side of the road, everyone slows down to look at the accident, right?
The rubberneckers.
Yeah, and then you're just like, oh my God. And also, like, at a stoplight, what if everyone could, like, accelerate at the same time?
Yeah, you wouldn't have to slow down until you get to your destination, probably.
Yeah, that idea is thought. It literally takes out the variation in all of human driving, which is an insane idea to think about, because there's so much variation in driving right now.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, of course, you're gonna have to program these cars at that point to take care of a falling tree or, you know, a random crazy person jumping out in front of the road. But for the most part, the problem is simplified a lot when everybody's autonomous.
Yeah. And so what we should say is that, how far do you think this is away?
I mean, the technology could be there like within the next 20 years, but I can see like politics and other stuff getting in the road, you know?
Yeah.
And just infrastructure too.
Yeah. I think what scares me more, honestly, is the self-driving trucks that people are starting to come up with. You know, have you heard about this?
I have.
And so, like, a lot of trucking companies, and actually Tesla also, they're trying to produce these self-driving tractor trailers, which are just massive vehicles to begin with. Like, I've definitely been kind of I've been driven off the road by a truck before, because I was just in this blind spot and he couldn't see me. And so, yes, I guess theoretically that would cut down on the accidents, but, like, if that kind of idea goes wrong, then that goes wrong in a big way.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's it's like a speeding, I don't know, a train almost, right? Like, could take out a lot of people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Scary thought, but I think it would make the road safer too. Cause you would have cameras and technology and all that stuff to kind of monitor it.
I think, one thing, I find super interesting with this topic is this like ethical predicament of how to program an autonomous car to handle like certain situations where a crash is inevitable, right? So, I've heard this passed around before, but I'll ask this to you, Mark. If you're in a car behind the wheel and you pretty much have the algorithm in the car determines that there's two outcomes. You're going down the road at 60 miles per hour and you see like a group of 10 people jump out in front of your car. The car can either hit those 10 people and continue straight and, you know, your car won't crash except for hitting the people, and you would survive, or you could slightly go right into a brick wall and kill yourself, but save the 10 people.
I would definitely go into the brick wall. Hands down. Hands down, brick wall.
Okay, now let's change this a little bit and say, what if there's just one person coming out in front of you?
Kill the one person.
So, I guess, what about two people?
It's the ethical dilemma, right? What you have to weigh the balances of human life. And that's not... Can you leave that to the fate of a car and a machine? You're absolutely right. I don't know.
I wouldn't want to be the person to make that decision.
No, I wouldn't. And that's a really tough decision for someone to actually that's a tough situation. And I've heard this before, right? Like,
yeah,
the same idea as a runaway train. Like, there's a runaway train, right? And you're a person in charge of changing the tracks. And so if the runaway train goes down the left track, it kills a town full of people. If it goes down to the right side of the track, there's like a baby in the middle or something like that. Yeah, I've heard this before, and it's there's no win situation for this. But like, you got to pick the lesser of two. I don't know. I think it would just have to be a reactionary thing at the time. But at the same time, I don't. What would you do? I mean, what would you do in that case?
It depends, right? Like, I think killing the least amount of people would be optimal, obviously. But in a situation where it's like, you know, one versus one, who the hell knows? I don't know.
It's
the less risky one, whichever that is. But I can see it in either case, like pissing off some people, right?
Oh, like, absolutely. Yeah.
Lots of lawsuits and stuff. But so I think that's going to be one of the trickiest parts of just getting this technology adopted into society.
No, yeah, I agree with you a lot. It's just that, and how can you really trust a machine to do the right thing, or try to attempt to do the right thing, you know?
Yeah, and I know a lot of people are scared of artificial intelligence, like
in general, because of the Terminator.
Yeah, that and all of the other sci-fi movies that are out to kill. But this technology, you got to separate Hollywood from this technology. It's not like that at all. Like, it's only, at least at this point, it's only ever as smart as the person who programs it, or the group of people.
At some point, you got to realize that the benefits of a self-driving car far exceed kind of not the flaws, right? But if you think about it, like, you can get to your destination faster. You can get to your destination safer. You don't have to worry about kind of, you could do work in the car if you wanted to. There's so much more you could be doing in a self-driving car.
And not only that, but just the fact that human error, I don't know what the percentage is, but I'm sure
high,
like 90% of accidents are from human error, right?
Yeah.
So when you eliminate humans from the equation, it's that essentially is eliminated, right?
Yeah. No, I agree.
So I see it as a good thing.
So we're running short on time, but let's just end off on this. Would you buy an autonomous car 10 years from now?
Yeah. I mean, assuming that they're on the market, that means that they're adopted by society. I would absolutely buy one, assuming that the price is in my budget.
Yeah, right. I think we're very pro autonomous cars, so it's a really biased question for us to ask.
I'm guessing you have the same type of sentiment.
I mean, I want to buy an autonomous, well, I guess it's semi-autonomous at this point. Like, I would love to buy a Tesla at this point. It's just price is always going to be the dictating factor for anything that anyone does, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, because we're not super wealthy. We can't buy everything that we want or all the things that we want. We have to keep a budget in mind. So at this point, it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah. We'll cross that bridge when the time comes, but it's cool technology nonetheless.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So let's see here. What are we going to talk about next week, you think?
I don't know. I think we're both going to be pretty busy for the next few weeks. We gotta figure something out with this.
Yeah.
You're traveling, right?
Yeah, we're going to Atlantis in the Bahamas. That should be fun. I've never gone there before, ever. So
that should be fun.
Well, it should be a relaxing vacation. Everyone tells me it's a really good and fun place to hang out and chill for. Super expensive, though. So that's why I can't buy a Tesla, because I'm spending all my money on these vacations.
Right. Experiences over possessions.
Yeah. What is that? Is that experiential travel? What is it? Mm-hmm. That was like episode 2 or 3.
What is it? Bahamas. Is that Nassau?
That's NASA. It's in Nassau. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. You're going to have a good time there. It's going to be beautiful.
Hopefully. We'll see. Hopefully there's no hurricanes, even though it's not hurricane season.
No, you'll be good.
Yeah. In any case, well, If anything else to add?
No, that was a good... No, get out of here. I don't know what you're doing. We're podcasting, and we're recording it. Give me 2 minutes.
You're done in 2 minutes?
Yes. Okay.
Is it your mom?
No, that was Janelle. She's home.
Why don't you bring... Wait, bring Janelle back in here.
Janelle, come here. Okay, so this turns out to be my sister, and we're gonna, before we end the episode, pose a question to her. Mark, want to say hi?
Janelle, what's up?
What's up?
Okay, Janelle. So we're talking about this episode about self-driving cars, all right?
Okay.
You know what a self-driving car is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uber thing, Tony?
Yeah. Essentially, okay. Yes.
Good job.
So would you buy a self-driving car in the future?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, why not?
What is your biggest concern about self-driving cars?
Because I don't trust it, and I would never trust a computer to drive me around.
Okay, so
That's fair enough. That's one of the things that we're worried about.
That is the opposite side of the equation, I guess. the half of the population.
Yeah. In any case, well, this has been an interesting podcast episode.
For sure.
Thank you for that, Janelle.
All right. So with that being said, Tony, I'll let you close it because I always screw this up.
You'll get it one of these times. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. Now I screwed it up. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening. We'll see you next week.
See ya. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode. Please follow us on Twitter at the 451 Podcast to keep up with the latest news and events. If you have any suggestions for episodes or would like to contact us, shoot us an email at the451podcast@gmail.com.